Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the September 8th.
Yeah.
Second week of September 2000 and whatever year it is.
Yeah, people are supposed to be kids going back to school. A lot of people said that was the reason why we saw such a drop in markets as many of the high schoolers stopped trading.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yep. So what's going on there? A couple of things to mention here. We'll do it right at the top of the show and just say that, you know, you can donate to the show to help us out with a lot of the things that go into the show, the production, the development, and the giveaways and all that. You can go over to dhunplugged.com and click on the little round or oval shaped donate button and give it a try. Give it a try. Well, I have a lot of themes going on because obviously we saw a change in sentiment in the markets over the last several days. I guess we'll call it wobbling as tech takes it on the chin. And we have today, we're going to be discussing the whale alert. Now, this is different than my fish story. It has nothing to do with my boating. Nothing to do with my heart, my loss of that gigantic fish and the new harpoon that's been ordered. Nope, it's a whale alert in the financial markets. So let's see what else we got here. First week of September, pretty wild, but down for markets last week. And we see that there's a kind of a rotation taking place. Or maybe, as I call it, a valuation malfunction, which is going on in the markets. And tonight, we heard that one leading vaccine trial has now been put on hold. Hopefully, this is not going to be a...
That'll be a trend.
Oh, I hope not. That would be awful.
Oh, that's what it's going to be. These vaccines aren't going to work.
Well, then the other question you have is everybody's bubbling up with, well, I'm not taking it. Especially if it's fast-tracked.
So, I have a video that is just rocketed here. Never mind. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you because the video was going nuts.
Oh. You're watching Curry on Rogan?
No. I already saw Curry on Rogan.
What was that? Did he go over to... Was Rogan in Austin?
Yeah, it was his first show in Austin.
Why did he go to Austin? Is that his new location?
His new studio.
New studio. Where's the old studio?
Los Angeles.
And it's gone? He's moving to Austin permanently?
Yeah.
Well,
I'd give it a year.
I would just say his wardrobe for the show was not up to, I would say, even his par.
You talking about Rogan's?
Yeah. It was like a ripped up shirt.
I don't know. It seemed okay to me.
Yeah. But it dropped a couple hours ago, and I think there was like 700,000 views already.
I know. That's too much.
Yeah. So Adam Curry on the Joe Rogan Show, the Joe Rogan Experience over on YouTube. You can check that out. A full, I don't know, like an hour and a half or so with Adam. Pretty cool.
3 hours.
It was 3 hours?
Yeah.
Wow.
Almost. I think he may have been up to maybe he almost hit four.
Wow. That's a lot of talking.
Yeah. A lot of talking.
Yep. Well, here's our market update. Tech jammed, growth grounded, value relative strength. That's kind of what's been going on in the last week or so. And we saw two outside days last week, which means that you have this, and it was two opposite outsides, where you have the top and the bottom of the range above and below, let's say the day before. Yeah. And we saw an incredible day, I think it was Tuesday of last week, where markets were just on fire. It was like, it was a head scratcher. I'm looking at things going, what is that? Why is Microsoft up 5% today after it's been, you know, rocketing nicely higher? And why is Apple just continuing to move higher and Tesla up, I don't know, 75 points? And it was pretty crazy. And that was one of the days. Then we saw that.
Death throes.
Yeah, exactly. Then we saw that was like, uh-oh, that's all. And it turned around pretty well and obviously off. I think the Q's are now off.
You had your chance to get out, people.
You did. It was so many. Actually, if you look back on it for a second, there was so many signals. One of the things that you and I have been talking about, and I've been kind of really pressing, was this whole idea of that divergence. Remember I talked about that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like this whole, like nothing's moving underneath The decliners are outpacing the advancers, and it feels wrong. It just felt wrong.
Well, until now.
Yeah. But in particular, the last 2 weeks, there was like this weird stuff that was going on. So we had that. Fed keeps on talking about low rates forever, for the longest of times. Bond yields have been steady recently, but I've been concerned that if we start to see some margin calls, a couple more days of this nastiness. I mean, the Qs were down 5% today. The NASDAQ 100 as an index was down 5% today, 10% from its high. So now you're going to start to see margin calls happening, maybe on certain stocks. Clearly, Tesla down, 30% from its high? And Apple down, 10 or 12% from its high, and just go down the list. And that's just the big names. So The question is, where else does that start to get intertwined with the rest of the markets?
I don't know. Just these charts don't look very promising.
I look through a ton of charts today. I'm like, all right, I'm buying something. Let me find something. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to find something that looks good. And I'm like, I look at this, a chart, and I'm like, well, no, that's not looking very good. I mean, I'd have to just take a stab at it, right? The trend is not right.
Yeah, you could shoot it. Yeah, you could take a swing at one of these. But I look at these charts and say, I don't know. This is not – I could see some dead cat bounces, but I'm not seeing much of – I don't see anything.
Right.
At least what I've looked at.
Yeah, because what you're seeing is just a fall off of where it was back down to, 2 weeks ago after – that's all we really went
back down to something normal.
Yeah, but it's not even there yet. The trend is still, if you took out that last week and this week, it's still too high on some of these names.
Yeah, I agree.
And finally, we saw the Republican stimulus bill, which is falling short, only $300 or so billion, which is a lot lighter than was hoped for by the Democrats and by the Republicans, it looks like. But they seemingly put together this thing, which included, money for post office, money for $300 per week stimulus, and a few other things in there. And you know what? The other thing, I don't know if I have a story about this, but there's been a lot of reporting lately. I don't know if you've seen this, but about the PPP fraud. There was a guy who lives down here. He got like $1.2 million or $1.3 million worth of the PPP money. And he took that because he didn't segregate his accounts. He took that and bought a $600,000 boat with it. Direct wire to the manufacturer. And that's not what's supposed to happen, right?
No. This sounds like something fishy.
Yeah. And he didn't have the employees to cover it either. I mean, it's one thing if you have, listen, let's say a business got $100,000 for PPP. And they have employees and they're paying their employees. And he takes 100 or, I don't know, 50,000, whatever the number is, from an account and buys something with it. You could do that as long as you had the right number that was correct for your salaries and for your payroll, and then whatever. It doesn't really mean anything, right? So bottom line is, now it seems that there's all this fraud percolating. Jamie Dimon put out a note tonight from JP Morgan, said that they're finding a lot of questionable activity by, he said the word employees, which I didn't really understand, but customers also, that have misused money and misrepresented that. So I wonder if we're going to see a little bit of a situation brew here.
Well, when you start throwing this much money around and you don't set up an enforcement operation to go along with it, to keep this guy. I mean, this is what I've always felt, that Medicare or for all could be done or easily enough if you had an enforcement agency as part of the operation, because there's probably enough fraud in Medicare at all levels, from my experience looking at it, that if you took care of the fraud, you'd be fine.
Yeah, I mean, you clean up all your problems, right? All the money problems that were breaking Medicaid, Medicare, if you just cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it could be cleaned up a lot if you had an enforcement agency that was just dedicated to it with some teeth.
Right. Well, let's talk about the whale. So I have a few companies that are on my list, few names of people that have seen in the past this nature to them that is, I guess, best called sinister. where they do things that are kind of like, you know, remember years ago there was the whole Goldman Sachs thing, the, you know, the tentacles of the Goldman Sachs, how it was in all of this stuff and how they helped create the financial crisis with all the leverage and all that with the housing, right?
Right, while shorting it at the top.
Right, exactly. So you had that going on, and that's kind of one of these villains out there. Another one that I've always seen over the years that has been very troubling to me, but you know, I can't really quantify it, but just something about what you see is not right, is SoftBank.
Yeah.
SoftBank. This is the Japanese
run. I thought SoftBank was sketchy since I worked for them for a while when they bought Ziff Davis, so I was technically working for SoftBank.
Ah.
And I've always thought that Son was a something of an economic genius, because it's just a matter of he just knew how to do all this kind of I don't want to say it's shenanigans, but I don't know what other word to use, but it's all financial
engineering
voodoo.
Yeah. So he's the guy that's also behind WeWork and Uber. But if you think about the WeWork valuation process that went on, where you had this constant flow of money and they were buying in and constantly putting more money and raising the valuation, and then SoftBank would buy more and the valuation would go higher, and everybody's looking at it going, wow, look at the valuation of that. But you know, John, if you had a house and you bought it for $100,000, and then a couple of weeks later you buy it for you sell it to yourself somehow for $150,000, then $200,000, then $500,000 eventually. Now that house is worth $500,000, right? That's what it looks like on the books. So this is what's gone on with this, you know, trying to increase the valuation of things by just throwing massive amounts of money in it and creating this, you know, kind of thin veil of valuation that you did yourself, and then hopefully selling it to some sucker.
And leveraging all the while.
All the way. So last week on that Tuesday, when we saw all these major tech names really move higher, it was found out that there was somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, $4 billion worth of call options on Apple and Amazon and Tesla and Google and Netflix. They bought like crazy. $4 billion bet call options for the price to move higher, which underneath that pushed the markets up for those names. Does that make sense?
It makes sense how it worked, but what doesn't make sense is the call options themselves. But anyway, I mean, I wouldn't be, it seems like the stock is flying high and you're buying calls.
Yeah, you're buying calls, right. Yeah, so, but this was SoftBank. This is what they did.
Well, there you have it.
Yep. So this kind of weird move that happened in these names, it was just an artificial move that was generated by a leveraged buy of billions of dollars worth of call options like crazy. So now everybody's seeing these kind of things happen, so the rest of the market starts playing along. So it'd be like that $500,000 house you just created. The next door neighbor raises his price to $400,000 on a $100,000 house. So everything is artificially being pushed up with more money being pushed in by other people. And then they're getting higher valuation on their stocks that they own already. And then once this was kind of found out, markets were like, whoa, wait a second, you know?
Whoops.
Yep. And that's kind of what the selling pressure started to happen. And it started to roll over and then get worse and worse and worse. The problem is it's like SoftBank has an unlimited amount of money they can seemingly have, due to low interest rates and high liquidity. And now they're just going after markets and just doing, you know, major damage to it.
Yeah.
So
it's part of the overall scheme, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it's more scam. It's more a scam than a scheme.
Well, you know, I don't know. Is it really a scam?
Is it a scam? I just know from their previous, from the way they previously act, it seems like a scam to me. It's almost like I wouldn't call it a Ponzi scheme in a way, but it seems like a Ponzi scheme.
But it's not.
Not a Ponzi scheme, no. It is just it's a game to try to...
It's a different way of doing things that people have not caught up to.
Yeah.
I've always thought the guy was something of a genius. He came out with an economics degree out of Cal Berkeley.
Well, he's obviously done something right. But I just find what he did here to be.
I met him a couple of times when he was before he was big. Before yeah. Actually, I met him before SoftBank. I mean, before the current SoftBank's iteration, he was just a small publisher. And I had no idea that he was this talented at this sort of thing.
But he also has a lot of, well, almost unlimited money. So you could do a lot with that. I mean, if you have unlimited money, just buy whatever you want. Who cares? Just make it all go up. Just hopefully you're not holding the bag at the end. That's the hope.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Yep. The S&P.
Everyone's waiting.
Well, it is. It's happening. I mean, you saw a big move. 30% on Tesla.
Yeah, but
down.
You think he got out of those calls? I think so. He probably made a ton of money.
He may have. Hopefully he got out. Maybe he did. Maybe he got out at the right time, closed them all up, and that's what started the problem.
That could be.
Yeah. And then everybody else is left holding the bag on the rest of this stuff.
Well, that's the classic stock market move.
Yeah.
Make everyone else take the beating.
Like cornering the market like the silver market years ago.
Yeah. Who was that? That was...
Some brothers. Name?
What?
It was a Brothers. Wasn't it a Brothers? Somebody brought
it. Yeah, it was, what's his name? The dumb one. They always said he was the dumb one of the group.
I don't remember the name.
Trouble is I can't get Buffett out of my mind because it's a name similar to Buffett.
Baker? It wasn't Baker Brothers, no. It was.
No.
Anyway, we'll think about it. Somebody maybe in the chat room will come up with it. The S&P. So the S&P 500, there was a lot of hoo-ha going on because there was possibly going to be some inclusion of new names. And one of the names that was floated around and everybody was all excited about was, again, Tesla. Tesla was having enough of a... They managed to have the appropriate number of quarters of positive income in order to meet the criteria for the S&P 500. So everybody was all excited, and that's why some more reason why the stock, which reversed from the lows on Friday to positive... was going to be possibly included in the S&P 500 when they announced it. I didn't think that was really, I don't know. I didn't think it was really that possible due to the fact that you have an extremely high valued stock right now with extreme volatility, which would then be put into the S&P on a market cap weighted basis. And then if things went wrong with it, it would be very much a problem for the S&P 500, right? They don't want to take that risk.
Bunker Hunt.
Yeah, Hunt, the Hunt brothers. That's it.
Yeah, that's exactly what you said was the way it's going to go.
Yep. So the new members that were added was Etsy, Teradyne, and Catalent, not Tesla. So, again, I think it was kind of a smart move.
Adding Tesla would be nuts.
That'd be crazy. You know, the potential for irregularity of earnings, the volatility of the stock. And so now the stock just got kapowed, pretty down 20% today. So... NASDAQ 100, we saw major distributions nearing and tapped the 50-day moving average today. And a big change of sentiment. I would think we're going to see a little bit of a rebound on this. I mean, when you see this kind of move in this quick of a fashion, you usually see a rebound. Now, I don't think we're going to see a V rebound all the way back to the top right away. I mean, right away. I think there's going to be some need to cleanse.
I can't see getting back there. I think it's going to crab.
Crab?
You know, go sideways, dick around.
Oh, I see what you mean. Not lobster, like walk backwards, but crab sideways.
Yeah, sideways.
Yep. Let's see what else we had. Senate Republicans introduced a $300 billion stimulus package that includes money for small businesses, the United States Postal Service, $300 in enhanced weekly unemployment benefits, and vaccine research. The Democratic leadership rejected this bill. DOA.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, we don't want anything going on.
No, we don't want to do it. We don't want anything positive before November. Nothing can be positive. It has to be bad. Did you see the there was a lot of Trump boat parades, if you will.
Yeah, I saw some pictures of them.
Did you see the one in Texas?
No.
So there was a lake in Texas, and I guess it was just packed. There's usually a lake. You don't have a lot of boat traffic. You have some, of course, but not crazy amounts like you have in some of the intercoastal waterways in Florida and stuff like that. Well, it seems like some of the big boats made some big waves. and they sunk, I think, three boats. It's a lot of crazy people. Nobody was hurt, fortunately, but three of them sank. Major vaccine news. Here's what is. And this is very disturbing to me because this company was, in my opinion, one of the leaders in the particular vaccine. They had two-part vaccine that would do not only, well, the theory was, or theory is, that they would actually have a vaccine and something as a T-cell booster. And, you know, the thing is that that would be kind of cool because then you'd have extra immunity, supposedly. Well, AstraZeneca, which is doing the study is being co-hosted or co-done with Oxford out of UK, put on hold. There was serious adverse reactions in a trial participant. It had to do something with some kind of buildup or something to do with the spinal cord and swelling.
Yeah, I didn't follow this, so I don't know.
Yeah, swelling. So that was a leading vaccine candidate, which is off the market. AstraZeneca down. AZN, I believe the symbol is down about 6.5% in the after hours. And that's kind of, you know, that one was something that people were looking forward to. So we're going to see a little bit probably of the other ones. You know, you got this jockeying around, like with the Moderna will probably do well tomorrow because at least one of the competitors are kind of out of the way for a little while. Novavax, probably will see a bit of a move also. And they'll have to watch other things like the cruise lines and the airlines that have been doing very well lately, considering possibly just a, you know, this reversion trade going on. Warren Buffett. Ooh, we got a lot of thunder out there. Huh. Warren Buffett said on Friday that it's cut its Wells Fargo stake to just 3.3% reducing.
I thought he was just completely out of it already. Nope.
He was out of his Goldman Sachs, cut his stake in Wells Fargo, increased his stake in Bank of America, and then threw a bunch of money in Japanese financials. That's what he did recently. But listen, this guy, he could take a lot of bad news. I mean, in Wells Fargo, he's had it for years, decades.
Yeah.
So I guess he's finally.
He's not a skittish investor.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Panicky. And you don't think of the word panicky when you think of Warren Buffett.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that he's cutting this back. I don't know if people are talking about making way for his Bank of America investment, going to keep on growing that a bit. But I'm not sure how much room he has to increase that substantially, but it looks like he wants to be out of some of this due to the fact that if we're going to have long-term low interest rates, and that's what Powell's been talking about, you know, for almost forever, then you're not going to have a good banking environment for just as long of a period of time. So we've been hearing a lot about the 3-day rule. Kind of there's the 5-second rule when you drop something on the floor.
Yeah, you got 5 seconds to pick it up.
Yep. The 3-day rule is this concept that if a stock is moving down due to earnings, due to, you know, an adverse announcement, maybe a management change, that, hey, you know what? Let it go for 3 days. We let it go for 3 days, and then hopefully it will flush out, and then we can get back in. So a lot of the bulls are talking about this 3-day rule, which would have ended pretty much today. And if the drop continues for 3 days, then we're going to start buying. So already we saw that after the close tonight, the NASDAQ was down about 0.75% again after the close. Last I looked, it was even to a little bit up. So it made back all of that. The S&P 500 was flat. Dow Jones Industrial Average a little bit down. Dow finished off 600 points today, by the way.
Yeah, pretty I noticed.
Yeah. So I don't know if this whole thing is making the rounds and everybody, you know, is like, hey, there's a pattern out there, this 3-day thing. So, you know, we've seen it before that but you know what happens every time we see these patterns and we figure them out, right?
Yeah, they fall apart.
They fall apart.
Just as you figure them out, by the time you figure them out, it's so too late.
Right. So we'll see if that holds up a little bit. I mean, we've seen these bounces and then them fall apart in the last number of days overnight. So we'll see if that's going to it usually happens about 2 a.m. We'll see what happens about when the European markets start opening is when we start to see what happens with the futures. And I would think if we closed, this is another thing, we closed on the lows today, pretty much dead on the lows. And then we saw that overnight flush lower on the futures. Oftentimes when you're closing towards the lows, there's a bit of a, it's not really of a hangover. It's more of a, more selling to do on the open. You know, orders come in for more sell on the open. Mm. So we'll see if that's going to be, significant. We're hearing about home office fatigue. Now, you don't have that because you've been working from home for 30 years.
Pretty much.
You know?
On and off.
Yeah. You know, we have a mutual acquaintance. Paul Barron. Yeah.
Who?
I know him. Paul Barron from the Foodable Network. He said he met you. So somehow through somewhere, he got to me. And he's
Paul Barron, a name rings a bell.
So he was with Microsoft at the time. And there was a Microsoft. Now, let me tell you, you should listen to the last episode of The Disciplined Investor, okay. Episode 678. He was just raving about you.
Yeah, he's a good man. Yeah, I remember him. He's a genius.
Yeah, exactly. He was talking about how back in the quote-unquote day, you were in high demand as keynote speaker, and you would do the twit thing, and you would do this, and you were always on stage, and, you know, all this stuff, and people loved you on this side. People hated you on this side, the Microsoft people and the Apple people and all that. And he met you at a Microsoft conference when he worked there. And I'm not sure where it went from there, but he was opened up, started doing a podcast and a blog on food, Fast Casual Nation. Anyway, I guess he listens to us quite often. He may be listening now. And he got to me, and I've been helping him with and doing stuff. And he was on my show, and I've been on his show many times. But he's a great, great operation. He's like he almost has like a bit of a twit operation in Lauderdale, actually, in Florida, revolving around food. You know, so, you know, Leo got all the tech stuff going on.
So he's got a studio and the whole thing?
Yep, whole thing. Beautiful studio. Beautiful. I haven't been there yet because of COVID. But he has an exhibition kitchen studio.
Oh, nice.
So I'm going in there to scramble some eggs or something.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
But he does video podcast.
Yeah, video podcast. Great, great production. Great production. That's
If I see him, I probably recognize him.
Yeah. The Barron Report, Fast Casual Nation, FoodableTV.com. A little plug there. Anyway. Home office fatigue. Netflix. Reed Hastings says he's not being able to get together in person, particularly internationally, makes doing business harder, and he's eager to have some staff back in the office once a coronavirus vaccine is available.
Yeah, I bet that's probably true, especially at that level.
I would think that the other problem is, obviously, he's having a lot of trouble with production. Right? I mean, how do you do production?
We can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, production would be a huge issue.
So
Hollywood is shut down for all practical purposes.
Right. So, I mean, I guess I've heard from other people, too. They're like, okay, I really thought it was great working from home for the first couple, 3 months, and now it just sucks.
Yeah, I can see. I would suggest that most people would feel that way. I mean, I think a lot of people probably got right into it they prefer it because it's like, especially in the tech side of things, but for anything outside of tech, I'm not so sure it's that great.
Yeah.
I used to be a big promoter of it. Now I pretty much half and half. I don't think it's really is the answer to it a lot. So I think it's the answer to some large, corporations that have too much office space that they have to lease. But
you were probably a big promoter of it when you could work from home, but you could do other things in life, not work from home, stay at home, not go anywhere.
Oh yeah, that would be bad.
that's the problem with it. The other side's not there. You know, you can't get out, can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, you can if you really want to.
I suppose.
You're not supposed to.
Did you see something coming up, that reminded me of this. But did you see any of the U.S. Open this weekend with Djokovic?
I only saw the highlights where they threw him out.
Oh, man.
And I don't see why they threw him out. That was an accident. It was so obvious.
It was obviously he wasn't aiming at the grounds person or the
no, it was ridiculous.
Ref. No, but he did slam it pretty good right in the neck.
Yeah, I know.
And they went down.
I was one time I was at playing tennis in Florida and my son was like 2-3 courts away and I got irked about something. I just hit the ball. And hit him right in the head from such a long distance. I was kind of surprised. And we actually, when I saw Djokovic do this, I was thinking of that moment because this can happen to anybody.
Yeah. Well, he was the contender for the lead there, obviously. And
oh, he would have won the whole thing.
And what's the prize, like $2 million?
Yeah, something like that. So but it's like
– big loss.
Yeah, I think that was unfair.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I was thinking about this because India just beat Brazil. It made me kind of think of that. But it wasn't in soccer. It's the fact that India overtook Brazil in coronavirus infection numbers on Monday.
Oh, yes. They're number one now.
Yep. Well, behind us.
Yeah, we don't count. Ours is, I think, is dubious, but okay.
Well, if ours is dubious, how come theirs isn't dubious?
Theirs is probably dubious. It's all dubious.
So we're either dubious, underreporting, or overreporting, or who knows what the story exactly is. But anyway, they are still lifting many restrictions on the economy because the economy is in really bad shape there. And they resumed underground train service and announced plans to reopen the Taj Mahal this month. I think the White House is now doing tours again. Mm. Facebook is pulling political ads. Its first action to limit political advertising.
I get the biggest kick out of this story. So what ridiculous. Is the during this season, what is the number one ad revenue generator?
Yep. It's political.
Political ads are number one in generating money.
Yeah.
And so these guys, Twitter and Facebook, are going to take the money. I'd be irked if I was a shareholder.
Yeah. They're banning new ads in the week preceding the November 3rd election. So you have to kind
That's
of.
That's when all the money comes in.
Right. But then they said new ads, banning new ads. So number one.
So they could. Cheat by having some. If so, in other words, if these guys spend all their money and do a variety of ads, they can keep running those.
Correct. So I guess they don't.
Well,
want
that's okay.
Yeah, they don't want to have the. So now Facebook looks good for the people that are all bent out of shape about this, right? And they also have the opportunity to review the ads to make sure there's no misinformation because we trust Facebook to provide us with the critique on misinformation, right? Okay, fine. But therefore, it's just this new ads thing it looks like. So it's, you know, they're really concerned about this, it seems. And in particular, they said that—
Well, you know what the concern is, and this is really bothersome, and I think people should be very concerned about this, when especially investors. Why are they concerned? It's because of their employees. They've hired so many, and you can't— These companies have got so many kind of what to even call them, but they're social justice warriors of a type. They work in a company and they make a big fuss and they'll walk out. I mean, this happened to the book publisher who tried to do the Woody Allen book, Hachette. The staff was irked about it. I mean, why should the staff, a bunch of copy editors and editors that are supposed to have, they have something else to do. They're not the final determinant of the Woody Allen product, but they got so bent out of shape because they didn't like it that they had to pull the plug on the whole book.
So I guess
to some other publisher, but
that begs the question for you: who does Facebook answer to? One, it's
those
employees, or two, it's shareholders.
The employees—that's where this is coming from.
But who should they answer to?
The shareholders,
right? The owners of the company. The problem is they want to be. You know, what they are.
Well,
which is,
you know, here's the way you would argue it. We have to keep these employees happy. And if they all walk out, which they could easily do and hurt the company, that hurts the shareholders. That hurts the value of the company.
Right.
So what is a shareholder supposed to say to that? Well, what I would say to it is you shouldn't have these employees in the first place.
Of course. I totally
nobody
agree.
Nobody thinks about that when they hire these people.
Well, what are you going to say? I think that's probably, you know, you can't ask anybody anything anymore anyway. You can't.
There's ways of doing it if they were being coy. It's very easy to spot these people, not hire them.
I'm not disagreeing with you. And, you know, you have to hire people. they hire people, then they have to hire other people to make sure those people are in line. You follow what I'm saying? It's like,
yes, but what happens is you hire the people that are the bad actors.
Right.
And they get into positions where they start hiring their buddies. And next thing you know, the whole company is filled with a bunch of these folk that will ruin your company. It's just, they got to keep them out. I've been very adamant about this.
I agree. Well, talking about bad seeds, Amazon has banned the sale of foreign seeds to its customers in the United States, a move that comes after thousands of U.S. residents received unsolicited packages of seeds over the summer, most of them postmarked from China.
Yeah.
Did you get any?
No, and I don't know anyone who personally who has gotten these. I think this may be a bullcrap story.
I don't even understand it. And
the other part of the story is, why didn't somebody, if you get these seeds, take it to the local college and go to the botany department and have them identify these seeds? They just all, don't plant them. Don't do this. Be careful. These seeds are from China. They're going to grow invasive species. So,
yeah, it's going to be all kudzu everywhere, right?
There's a kudzu.
It's going to take over.
The thing is that this story's never been adequately reported.
Kudzu. The company updated its policy Wednesday, advising its foreign sellers that will no longer allow for the import of U.S. into the U.S. or plants or seed products. It prohibits the sales of products the U.S. Department of Agriculture says is noxious, and those that are subject to government quarantine or can be fatal when touched or consumed. They said, moving forward, we are only permitting the sale of seeds by sellers who are based in the U.S. because, of course, they won't sell noxious or bad seeds, an Amazon spokesperson said in a statement. I don't know. Who knows what those seeds were? Crazy. Peloton has a new bike. So what they did was they have a new bike, which, of course, is more expensive. It has iWatch compatibility. It has a rotating screen, I guess, so you could turn around, I suppose, and maybe run a different exercise protocol. So instead of being on the bike, you could do maybe, I don't know, yoga and turn around so you have a mat behind you. So that's, you know, so now this rotating screen. It has automatic resistance. No longer you have to turn that knob on the bicycle. And that's going to be, I don't know, $2,800 something or $2,499. $24.95, excuse me.
You know, you used to be able to buy these stationary Schwinn's.
Yeah, the Schwinn.
That had a little knob that you tightened up and you'd pump away and you could make it harder. They were like, what were they, $50?
Yeah, that's about all. That's about it.
But no, you have to have one of these things.
Yeah. $24.95, probably a 0% financing. Now, they reduced the old bike by 25%. I believe they're also reducing the price on the treadmill. Stock was up 8% today.
Yeah, it's probably a good stock at the time it came out.
Was. Boeing is in the news again. The Federal Aviation Administration is reviewing quality control lapses at Boeing that could stretch it back almost a decade. An internal FAA memo reviewed by the journal showed Boeing notified regulators that it had produced parts that did not meet its own design and manufacturing standards. As a result, the high-level FAA review could require enhanced or accelerated inspections for as many as roughly 900 of the approximate 1,000 Dreamliners delivered since 2011.
Yay.
Oh, man. That's ugly.
Boeing is just nothing but ugly for longer than I'd like to think.
Yeah, nothing's going right there. Just nothing. Burger lockers. Burger King will add pickup lockers and expanded drive-thrus in a major post-COVID redesign.
Burger lockers?
Burger lockers. I don't know what that exactly means. I guess you probably order on your phone and there's lockers next.
Yeah, you order on your phone, there's a locker. You drive up through the window and you punch in a code and you pull open the door and you get a burger out of the locker. It's like
automat.
It's like a variation of the automat.
The automat. It's the automat. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm all excited about this. Nikola, NKLA, announced that it signed a game-changing manufacturing partnership with GM today, which also, and GM also took an 11% ownership stake in the upstart. They're EV. They make these trucks, like pickup trucks, like a Ford 150. And they're now doing that. The partnership with GM enhances their production capability, limits its capital expenditures, and immediately levels the playing field with Tesla. And the stock was up, 42% today.
Nice.
Yep, that was a nice one. And some of the other names in the EV universe were up in sympathy, except for Tesla. So, Portnoy, you know him, right? David Portnoy?
Yeah, he's always got a complaint.
Well, he, has been all about this whole, he's been trading stocks, right? Have you been watching any of this?
No.
Oh, he's a lunatic, dude. I mean, just an absolute. He went so far as saying, stocks only go up. That's his thing. Stocks only go up. He went so far recently on, he has a show he does at live Twitter feed and Facebook and Instagram at 9 o'clock, I think 9:30 to 10 and like 3:30 to 4. And he tells you what he has in his portfolio, how much he's up and down. He tells everybody else the suits are after him. It's all a big scam, blah, blah, blah. Well, he got in on this when there was no sports gambling in March. So he kind of had that great run up initially. This guy's worth like $400 million. And he's been like, doing all sorts of things and doing all sorts of bets on things. It looks like he's down about $4 million in the last couple of weeks. So could be close to $5 million after today. But he went as far as grabbing a scrap. He's very entertaining. Grabbed a Scrabble bag, pulled out four of them and said, let's just buy the stock that these letters make. That's how easy it is to invest in this market.
Well, that won't last.
Nope. Crude oil dropped 7%. Saudi Arabia making cuts in their price. China demand drops. So we saw that crude was down at, 36 and change today. It kind of was hanging around that 41.50 for a while, up and down right around it, and just collapsed over the last couple of days. We have a wiener of the close to the pin for Macy's.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler G. Well, let me tell you this. I just mentioned his name. But the stock finished at $6.95. The group in total, about 100 entries, something like that, was at 654 on average. So they were off by 8% or so. The winner was Tyler G at $6.92, 3 cents from the actual number. And more interesting.
That's not bad.
No, it's great. So he got his DH Unplugged shirt and a high congratulations and will be eligible for the DH Close to the Pin Cup at the end of the year. Interestingly, our runner up was Warren S. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I got to think about this. I could be totally wrong about this, but I think. Isn't he one with the thatch roof house?
There is a guy with a thatched roof house.
I think it's him.
I'm not sure it's him or not.
Well.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the guy. Yeah, he's got a thatched roof house.
Yep. I think it was him. All right, what else we got here? Okay, let's see. Bill Ack. Oh. You may like this. You're going to hate this, but listen to this.
Oh, yeah. No, I've heard this story. Yeah, this is like. It sounds good when you talk about them, when you start thinking about it, it's like, no, this is no good, but right. Go on.
So
didn't we talk about this in the last show?
I don't know. Maybe we did. Maybe I left it here by accident where I'll just mention it quickly. Just say, said it.
So, I think we talked about it in the last show.
All right. We're skipping it then. It's stupid anyway. 30 states have approved the additional $300 per week of unemployment benefits provided by the federal government. I do not believe, unless somebody can tell me otherwise, that anyone's received this yet. So we're talking about over a month now that there's no money.
I haven't heard anyone who received it.
You haven't, right?
No.
Yeah. So that's that. Robinhood.
Your favorite.
Yeah, Robinhood, over the first half of the year, Robinhood is that trading platform that makes trading like a game. And during the first half of the year, U.S. consumer protection agencies received more than 400 complaints about the Robinhood app and company, roughly four times more than competitors like Charles Schwab, Fidelity.
Didn't we talk about this on the last show?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You know what? I think we did. God, what happened to me?
I don't know.
I think we had a Monday off and I screwed up a lot of stuff there. Oh, well, let's see if I missed anything on this here. Real quickly, Burger, Nicola, Peloton, Bad Seeds. Okay. All right. Well,
I guess it's time for the limericks.
We got Fed limericks, and I'm already not speaking very well to begin with, so I'm going to take a swig of my Q Kiwi Strawberry Propel.
And that'll make everyone else kind of gag a little bit just thinking about it.
I think so. I like it. It has electrolytes in it. All right. So the first one is from Missa Yusufpour. That's how he says to pronounce his name. And it goes something like this. There once was an old man who tweeted, without easing, he was defeated. It was never enough. He acted so tough. With the Fed, it was always heated.
Is this a vague reference to Trump?
I think so.
I don't really see the storyline here.
The storyline is off, in my opinion, but the cadence works. But that's another story.
A little bit. I'm going to give it a C.
Whoa. Oh, boost off. There once was an old man who tweeted, right? That would be him. Without easing, he was defeated. So that says the Fed should have eased, and they did, so that was good. It was never enough.
Well, either that or it also means he was without easing his tweeting.
Oh, maybe. He was defeated. Maybe.
So, you know, it's hard to understand. Okay.
The next one is from Steve Maretia. The Fed scheme portends a happy ending with no regard for unlimited spending. The PhDs being shrewd, the rest of us getting screwed, leaving the Fed to keep us pretending.
To keep on pretending.
Yeah, sorry. Leaving the Fed to keep on pretending.
I don't know. Another one that just doesn't do anything for me. I did like the 1-2 punch with the PhDs being shrewd, but shrewd and screwed was good. Ending, sending, pretending is okay. But for some reason, I'm going to give it a C.
Oh, sheesh. Hey, we got to find something. We need the Limerick King.
Had a lot of them that you have not read that you left off the list, and maybe you should go back to the well and pull those back.
No, I did. These are the ones that were, I always cross them out if I don't.
These were the couple that were passed over?
No, these are the ones that I passed over last week.
Oh, okay. Well, you passed them over for a good reason.
You can send on your limericks. Try to spend a little time making sure the cadence works, making sure the lines, first line, second line, and fifth line have the same amount
of
syllables.
Run them past your spouse.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Read them out loud. And you can send them off to dhemail@dhunplugged.com. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Yep. And here we are.
Looking good.
So it looks like the mano a mano from last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I beat you.
Yeah. You beat me.
But. So I shorted Zoom and up 21% in 1 week. And you shorted Wayfair and it's up 18.9 or 19% in 1 week. So I just barely beat you by a couple of.
That was great, though. I mean, everybody would have thought on that earnings report that Zoom was going to continue higher. Which was absurd, by the way. Totally absurd. Oh,
yeah. Crazy.
So you hit that right on and nailed it pretty well. I got to tell you something. When I look back, just from last week, man, there was some opportunity there.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them. Tons of short opportunities.
Man, crazy.
Everything else is pretty much the same train. You got bumped. Your Momo got kicked off. Chinese social, whatever it is. I don't even know what it was. You got bumped off of that. That was a. Meanwhile, I have a Momo. The momentum play I have, which is the Shopify, is down 17%. That's a loser. But Medtronic's way up. Your train is still way up. Everything looks pretty good.
We got the IPOC move up 5.7. The one that's interesting that you picked is the Empire State Realty, the LP, which is a real estate, and obviously in. You know, you said it was bottoming. And what I think is really interesting here is that we saw interest rates go up a little bit. over the last couple of weeks, and we saw the stock markets come down. Meanwhile, this is up 1.6% since you picked it. However, that's because it was down 4.5% today. So that would have been up almost, 6% if it wasn't from today, right?
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good.
Well, I got another screwy one that's a bottom feeding one, which is a little more obscure. I may be premature with this one. It's a European stock. And the symbol is, what is the symbol on this one? URW.AS on the Amsterdam Exchange.
We may not be able to do it. What is it?
URW, Uniball Rodamco Westfield. This is a mall operation.
URW dot what?
It's URW.AS. But there's other, it's traded all over the place. It's just not traded that I can find with the, on the.
So we only have the ability to do URW.AS. URW stock. What is this? What is this? URW stock. Uniball Rodam Westfield SE?
Yeah.
All right, what is this? What is the symbol here? AMURW, AMS, URW? URW.AS, URW. So it's, this one is AMS colon URW. I don't know if we'll be able to do this.
AS
colon URW. Nope, that doesn't do it either. URW, enter. Oh, yeah, there it is there. $6. Is it $38?
Yeah, should be.
I don't know if we're going to be able to do this on my other side is my only problem. So
give it a shot.
But if URW, that is kind of interesting that it pulls it up. So, okay, so what's the story on this one?
Well, this is a I was listening to a podcast with one of the PR people for Westfield.
Mm-hmm.
And I started listening to she's promoting that malls, the concept that malls are dead.
Right.
You get into that because there's a lot of dead malls. But yeah, they're not the superstar managed malls like Westfield and some of these other ones, which just Westfield Corporation was just recently bought by this European company that has a bunch of European malls. And they're still, Westfield started off as an Australian company, and then they split off to two companies, and then the Australian operation is still owned by some Australian holding company. But the rest of them, and I know I got sold on the idea that I looked at the stocks. This thing's been $300 a share. And so I'm thinking, this has got to be – so the rationale here is bottom feeding.
Now, they have the name Uniball. Is this also a pen company?
No, it's – I don't know. I forgot where the Uniball comes from. No, it's not the pen company.
Okay, there's a pen called Uniball. So
it's something – it's one of those typical – it's like Nokia. They start off as a rubber company, and they become one thing or another. And the next thing you know, they got nothing to do with the original business. Maybe there may be some connection. I don't know.
They have something to do with. They also have 55 flagships, shopping centers, convention exhibit halls. Well, yeah, this could do pretty well if we get back to semi-normal.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I have a very so you have bottom.
I have a second one, by the way.
Oh, go ahead.
This is an insider's play, and this is another buy. This is ODT.
ODT, enter.
And I'm only...
Odonate Therapeutics.
Yeah, this is a biotech company, and I got attracted to this from the insiders. There's three different groups buying up the stock. It's not just one guy. And so I said, if it's that popular, I think this is a good play.
All right, so we got insiders on that one. And the other one's bottoming, or is it?
The other one's bottoming.
Okay.
It's bottom feeding. It's my bottom feeding.
Oh, bottom feeding, all right.
Everyone loves the bottom feeding.
All right. I have one which is kind of in the genre of maybe things will get better one day. Yes. So I'm going to pick up Jets. JETS, which is the U.S. Global Jets ETF, has all the different airlines in it. We saw some real good.
It's the airline ETF. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I don't have to pick one, right? I don't have to pick like Delta, or I don't have to pick Alaska Airlines, Hawaiian, or whatever.
Great play. Yeah. Instead of taking a chance on one stock.
Right. which anything can happen. You know, who knows if Spirit's going to stay in business, but Delta may pick up their routes and do well. So at least we got all those in there. The point here, though, is that they're starting to perk up a little bit and actually get beyond a little bit of a resistance point. And after a long consolidation, number one. Number two, oil prices coming down. Okay, that's good. Number three, you know, what if things do get better? Number four, there were some good numbers on travel this weekend, which was kind of interesting. Where
so it was $18.26.
Yeah. It was up today, actually, a little bit on a crap day. Yeah. Now, we'll see with the vaccine situation that came out with AstraZeneca overnight, if there's a concern, because obviously, you know, this whole thing that we're going to get a vaccine before the election, that could be helping some of this. But I still think that, you know, if these companies can continue, you know, continue to do well, it's they're always going to be damaged. And at this point, they're always going to be, I would say, you know, not what they were before. However, they may come back. Listen, look at what's going on with the cruise lines. I mean, from about 4 weeks ago or so, I mean, Royal Caribbean's up like 49%.
Yeah, I know. It's just surprising.
Right now, with all the things that the airlines are doing and the cruise lines with and the hotels, right? Massive amounts of sanitation and sanitizing. And I mean, listen, it's never too safe at this point, even if you have antibodies, right? But the fact of the matter is that I think people somehow are, maybe it's because they're cooped up so much. They just want to get out. And
I think there's an element of that.
And then the fact that we've been told that nothing's going to close. You know, we're not going to have a shutdown again under any circumstance.
Yeah, that's a big lie.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, this is a good play.
All right. Well, we'll talk again next week then.
Okay. See you then.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.